Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. Are you blessed in the house this morning? How many of you came here with an attitude that you are not leaving the presence of God until you've gotten what you came for? Those are the people that are pressing in to get a hold of every single thing that they can get from their daddy, Jesus. And if that's you today, I'm going to ask you to stand up, come forward. We're going to move mountains today. We're going to cause the valleys to come out level today. We're going to cause the mountains to crumble before us today, because God has made a way for you. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we worship you. We decree and declare that you will move the mountains, that you will raise the levels and the valleys up for us so that we can walk in a straight path, level ground in the name of Jesus. Father, we know that you come to cancel sickness. You come to cancel debt. You come to cancel poverty. You come to cancel our old mindsets. So, Heavenly Father, we give you the power, the freedom to reign and rule in this place. Be mighty in our lives as we praise and worship you in this day. In the name of Jesus, amen.
How you guys? Mic check. Mic check, one, two. Hey, how y'all doing today? It's a great morning. It's a great morning. Come on, shout if you know that God is good. Just give God a shout right now. Come on, give God a shout if you know that our God is good. Give God a shout now. Awesome. Awesome. All right, and sing this with us.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on and sing that again.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, one more time.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Sing, we worship you. Ooh, yeah.
Come on and sing it out. Sing, we worship you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
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 We worship you for who you are.
Sing, you are.
You are good. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Sing, so good.
So good. So good.
Hey.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Come on and sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endures
Sing, Lord, you are good. Come on, shout it out.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth
forever.
I know in my life he's been so good. Hallelujah.
Lord, you are good and your mercy
endureth forever.
Just sing it out.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth People from every nation and from generation.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We worship you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on and shout it out. Sing hallelujah. We worship you for who you are. Hallelujah. And I will sing. We worship. Hallelujah. Hey. We worship for who you are. Sing, you are. You are good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. So good, yeah. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. Sing, you are good. You are good all the time and all the time. You, let me hear you sing.
You are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, Lord, you are so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on and sing it out one more time.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
Sing, he's good. He's good, so good.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever.
From every nation,
people from every nation,
from generation
to generation,
we worship you.
If he's good, shout yeah. If he's good, shout yeah.
Yo, I'm wasted up here. I can't. I owe you my life, can't praise you enough, even if I try, cause you've been so good. Sing that out. You've been so good.
So good.
Sing,
Lord, you are good.
You've been better.
You've been better than good.
I can't praise you enough. I owe you my life.
Can't praise you enough.
Even if I try,
cause
you've been so good. Come on and sing that out.
Lord, you are good.
You've been so good.
You've been so good.
Hey, yeah.
Lord, you are good.
You've been better.
You've been better than good.
I can't praise you enough.
I owe you my
yeah.
Can't praise you enough.
Even if I try. Going up just one more time.
Lord, you are good. You've been so good.
Come on, has he been good?
Lord, you are good.
Lord, you're faithful.
You've been better than good.
You've been better than good to me.
So many doors you've opened. So many ways you made. So many times you healed me.
You've been better than good to me.
So many doors you've opened. So many ways you made.
So many ways you made.
So many times you healed me.
You've been better.
Better than good to me. So many doors you've opened. So
been better than good to me.
So many doors you've opened. So many ways you've made.
So many times you've healed me.
You've been better than good to 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 me.
One more time, say, you've been better than good to me.
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 You've been so good.
You've been so good. You've been
Hallelujah. Isn't God good this morning? Don't you love him? Isn't he a great God? You know, you're going to just so enjoy the presence of the Lord today. I know you are already, but we are so blessed today to have Brother Alvin Slaughter and his beautiful bride, Joy, and you're going to hear from both of them. Remind you to step into the anointing. You know, don't be just somebody viewing from the outside. You know, there are many people that watch from the outside that never, ever, ever experience the presence of God. You know, I was sharing this morning in first service with the woman with the issue of blood. There were many people that were around Jesus, but only one stopped him. You've got to have a determination in your spirit. I'm going to stop God. Your faith can stop God. It can literally shift positionally where you're going and what you're doing by your faith. And so I challenge you during this time of this service, when Brother Alvin is here and his wife is here and they're sharing the gospel and they're singing in the gospel, that you'll have a tenacious spirit this morning to draw that anointing into your life. I don't know what you need, but I know this, that if Jesus is here, everything you need is here. If you need peace, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. If you need healing, he is the great physician. If you need love, God is love. If you need forgiveness, he says, I'll wash your sins away. It doesn't matter what you need. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. So if you're not experiencing joy, you need to tap that anointing. It will destroy every yoke of bondage. Amen. On your way back to your chairs, make sure you welcome five or six folks. Don't be a snob this morning. Don't just go sit down. Go find somebody. Say, good morning. You look just marvelous today.
Yo, listen, do you understand how hard we work on our video announcements? So listen, sit down so you can watch these things, because we put so much time and effort and energy and focus into making these so you can listen and watch them and be captivated. Thank you.
What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways?
to get to the end of your life and have nothing to show for it.
This is my family's legacy that I'm talking about here. I've got to have a plan and be focused.
That knowledge that you pass down to your kids, that is how you change a family tree.
You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you have that moment where you say, I've had it. I am not going to live like this anymore.
Why are we still watching this?
Really? It's not gonna be much longer.
You already know the Mets are gonna lose.
What are you talking about? They're not that far behind. They can come back.
They're gonna lose.
Just stop, seriously.
It's not like the Red Sox.
Over.
The Red Sox isn't playing. Turn the channel.
No, in this house we're watching the Mets. Are you needing the marriage encounter?
Because if you do, go Red Sox. We have the perfect encounter for you, September 27th through the 29th.
The total cost for the conference is $425. First deposit of $150 is due immediately. Make sure you sign up by going to PastorDan@HisTabernacle.com or seeing us in person. Make sure you sign up today.
We have a very special Sunday coming up on July 1st. It's called Friendship Sunday. This is going to be an opportunity for you to bring your friends, your family to church. The service is going to be all about friendship and the power that it has. So bring a friend on July 1st, and after both services, we're going to have an ice cream, or as Pastor would like to call it, salad social. We'll see you and a friend on July 1st.
Another, and we know that God moves in power when his people are of like mind. So we want to welcome you. We would also like to welcome our live stream audience. We love you and praise God for you and your life and the call of God upon your life. And we just are so thankful for the way that God draws all of us to him. Aren't you thankful that God draws all men unto himself, even when we do not deserve it? I am thankful and blessed. We would like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest in the house, we're going to ask you to raise your hands really high. We have a gift for you. Just raise your hand and keep it high until you receive the gift, because it's really good. It's got a coffee mug in it, and it's just awesome. On the left-hand side of the building, we are going to have a guest reception directly after service, and we would love it if you would drop coffee, some refreshments. We are a relationship church. Building that relationship, and it just gives us an opportunity to get to know you and for you to get to know us. So it's really our privilege and honor to have an opportunity to meet with you. We have amazing, huge, great things happening in the church all the time. So I want to encourage you to read your bulletin, or go on HT Family on Facebook, or go to our His Tavern. They're all different. Go somewhere. There are all different kinds of places that you can find out what's going on. But there are two things that are really important. Foundation of who we are at His Tabernacle. And the first is our Next Steps program. Turn to somebody next to you and say, Next Steps. awesome. We have great, great classes. If you want to know what they are, you can go out to the hub. But one of those that I really want to focus on today is the parenting class. How many of you are parents out there and you could use some help with parenting? Okay, I'm part of that too. And we have an awesome parenting class on Tuesday nights from 7 to 8 here in the building. We have people that will encourage you, motivate you, inspire you, refresh you, because how many of you know we need that sometimes, don't we? Amen. And we also have another really, really great opportunity for you, and that's an opportunity for you to build relationships in groups. Turn to somebody next to say, get in a group. Awesome. If you're a group leader, would you please stand? If you're a group leader, quickly stand. Look around. These are our group leaders. We are a fun church. We have fun. So if you are not in a group, I'm going to encourage you to get a hold of any of these people, and you're going to have a blast. So come on out, build relationships as Jesus would ask you to, and get in a group. I'd like to turn it over to Pastor Spencer.
Praise the Lord. I want to remind everybody, next Sunday, everybody shout, next Sunday is Friendship Sunday. We are going to have some good salad. I'm preaching on heaven next week. Listen now, you bring your friends, they're going to want to go to heaven when they hear how good it is. So you don't want to miss it. And make sure that you bring this. You got cards. I think most of you have cards. If not, they have a few left at the front door. Make sure you invite all your friends and your family. If you don't invite them, they're not going to come. But I believe we can fill this house twice if everybody just gets two people to come. Amen? Just fill the house with people so they can hear the gospel. We're getting ready to receive the offering, and I love offering time. My wife does as well. Why is that? Because we learned that when you learn to give to God and you learn the principles of God's finances, you can always live in success. Now, a lot of people, I remember when the teenagers first came to my house, some of the teenagers from the youth group that were from a challenging home. I remember some of them said, "You're just rich." And I'm thinking, boy, if they think I was living in big flats, you think this is rich. But what was interesting was I got to explain to them that I didn't come out of wealth. I came from a house, and my mom's sitting on the second row. She can validate it. I think our house in Phillipston, Massachusetts cost $8,000 when my dad bought it. Now, back in 1964, I want to guess, was I born there or not? No, 67. Ma, help me. Give me a date. Don't just stare there and stare at me. Dear Lord, she was alive. I wasn't. And so I remember this house, man. This house was harsh. My dad tore up everything. It was an old 250-year-old house with dirt floor in the basement. And I remember we used to walk on planks in our house. Remember the planks? Because the floors were always torn up. And I remember, man, it was rough. It was just rough. I didn't grow up in splendor. But I've learned something. My wife and I learned something. Our very first pastorate in Newfield, New York, I was $10 a week full-time. Figure that out. We had to drive school bus just to survive. Man, we ate a lot of deer meat, a lot of pasta, and chicken if we could afford it. But we learned something, and that is when you start to apply God's principles in your life of tithing, sowing, and reaping, you will find that God is able to do abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. But what happens is in the church world, we've gotten this mindset that all it is about money to the church. It's all about money. Well, let me tell you something. It's all right if you don't give money here. It's all right. That's not really between you and I. That's between you and God. But I'm not going to stop telling you how to be successful. Amen? I'm not going to stop telling you how it works, because God's word always works. How many believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? No man comes to the Father but by him. Then you automatically have to believe in tithing. Sorry about that. It's the same word. And if one works, the other works. If Jesus' blood washes your sins away and makes you whole so you can see God face to face, then being a tither will always work. Amen? So I just want to challenge you to step into a realm maybe some of you have never been before, and that is watch God. I love that part. It's the only place in the scripture he says, test me in this thing. Watch God blow your mind and bless you financially as you become a tither, a sower, and a reaper. Amen? Are you ready to give? Stand to your feet with us. If you're our guest this morning, what we do is we bring our tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you have nothing to give, that means you've eaten your seed, so at least come and pull the lint out of your belly button and have faith for next week. Amen? But it's time to be a giver. Shout, I'm a giver. Let's make our supernatural proclamation from the book of Deuteronomy. If I obey, I'm blessed going in, and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse, and I'm blessed in my basket. Now, that's really greedy there in the front end. They took two people and three people and put them all together to get their basket bigger. I'm blessed in my basket. What's after that? Do you remember? What's that? I can't hear you. Come on, prophesy to yourself. They're going to trip me up because I'm a child of God. Then shout, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bless the Lord with your tithe and your offering. If you're watching by live stream, this is your moment. Man, you too can enter into the blessing. Some of you, this is your home church. This is where you tithe, right here. Some of you, you're just buzzing by and you're watching. I challenge you to be a sower. It's going to be a phenomenal service. Enjoy the presence of the Lord and let's see God's kingdom come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We love you.
Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship.
Oh my goodness, today you are going to be so blessed. Or turn to someone and say, you are going to be so blessed. You know, we are blessed as a house of God. You know, I want you to know where we're from, Horseheads, New York. Dear Lord, the name itself should be put away. I don't understand. But we're not just in Horseheads, New York. We're in the middle of a cornfield. Amen? And today God has blessed us. How many of you know those principles called divine connections? God loves bringing divine connections into your life. And today we are so blessed. We don't just have a singer. I want you to know, for those who are fresh here, we have never once done what we're doing this morning. We have never once had a special singer come to our church. But you know, Brother Alvin Slaughter has been ministering to my life since 1984 when I was in Bible school. I don't know how he did it. He's only 27. I'm not sure how he's figured that out. But I want you to realize that today we don't just have a singer and his beautiful bride who has phenomenal ministry, which you'll hear here in the future. But watch, he literally is world-renowned. For those who don't know his ministry, dear Lord, world-renowned. He travels the world singing in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And we are phenomenally blessed to have him here in Horseheads, New York. And also, they're watching from Ithaca. So we're blessed. Can you welcome with me Brother Alvin Slaughter to his Tabernacle Family Church?
You may be seated there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the going down of
the same. Lord, your name, is to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Lord, your name is to be praised. So we sing hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we praise your name. We came here to horse heads to glorify your name, Jesus. And, oh, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Praise you for all the many good things he has done for us. Can I get one witness in the building today?
Praise you.
You know I praise you.
Praise you.
Because Lord,
Shout,
hallelujah, it's the highest praise. Devil is practice something with me. Let me hear you shout. I didn't hear you shout. Everybody dance. Come on, dance, children. Dance. Yes, sir. Oh, my. Lift those hands. Higher, higher, higher. Lift those hands. Now clap. Put those hands together. Oh, my. Yes, sir. Now shout. Don't wait for the battle to be over. Shout. Everybody dance. Everybody dance now. Good God Almighty. Lift those hands. Let's raise the roof tonight. And oh, yeah. My God. Any fancy clappers here? Clap. Oh my. Let me hear you sing glory.
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 Hallelujah.
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 Sing glory.
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 Hallelujah.
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 So seated before I run around this building. Oh. Before I do the song, listen, you guys are so infectious. We go to churches where sometimes you got to beg them to praise the Lord. We promise to take them to Cracker Barrel after service if they praise the Lord. But it sounds like his temple is on fire. Can I tell you the difference? I'm going to do a little bit of this song. Can I tell you the difference between a loser and an overcomer? We have all lost at life. But a loser, maybe, perhaps, kind of, sort of, will praise God once all their problems are over. How many people know all your problems are never over? But an overcomer doesn't wait for the battle to be over. They shout right in the middle of the battle. I got a question for you. Are there any overcomers here this morning? I said, are there any overcomers here this morning? If you're an overcomer, like this song, like this song. this. It says, it's a shout with a voice of triumph. Shout with a voice of praise. Joy, you can dance with me on this song. Say, shout.
Jesus,
we'll give him the praise. Yes, we will. will shout unto
God.
Shout, yeah! You better sit down. My time's running out. Oh! To worship you, I live. To worship you, I live to worship you. Say this part, say, I'll say it first, say, oh, 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 oh. How many people here love to sing? Let me see your hand. How many of you can sing? Let me see your hand. How many of you only sing in the shower? Where are the showers singing? Let the rain fall. How many of you... You couldn't hold a note if you had a handle on it. Where are you at? How many of you are glad the Bible said make a joyful what? You can sing in the key of Z flat, but if it comes from your heart, God goes, I love it. I don't want to take too much more time. I really do, but I'm not going to. My wife, Joy, is the best, the very best thing that's ever happened to me. And singing is not my first ministry. Being Joy's husband is my first ministry. Because when my singing days are gone, no one wants me to sing anymore. No one wants to buy a CD or a cassette or a record. Some of you young people saying, what's a cassette? What's a record? Ask your grandparents, they'll tell you. But this is the woman who has been by my side, and we've been by each other's side. I love her with all my heart. Not only is she an amazing wife, she's a powerful and amazing leader. And she started a mission in Haiti years ago with absolutely nothing. And God used her to build churches and schools, orphanages, microloan programs, homeless shelters, fed thousands and thousands of people. And God allowed the woman who just loved God and loved people, allowed millions of dollars to go through her hands, and most of that money went to the people of Haiti. Her hands never got sticky. And she's amazing and powerful. When I go to Haiti with her, she's a rock star. No one knows who I am. They know her. She loves going to the most destitute of places where no one wants to go. I'm used to being on stages in nice places. She'd rather not be on stages. She'd rather be in the bush somewhere with some little lady who hadn't seen, had good human contact in a long time. We were in the bush one time. We went out into the bush. I wasn't going to tell this, but I can tell it. We went out into the bush, and she had her team with her. She had about 47 people on her team. Most of them were Haitians. All of them were Haitians. And she had five churches, five pastors who worked under her. And we went out with her team, and she had her security that was with her, because there were times her life was threatened with kidnapping and all kind of things. So she had her security team with her. Now, let me just say this with all due respect. Those guys were about 100 pounds soaking wet. Security team. So I figure I'm going to take over. I'm running the security around here. I'm 6'2", 150 pounds. I mean, I'll tell you what. That's how we measure it in Brooklyn. So I'm staying there. So we get into the bush, and I'm telling you, it's just nothing but trees and bush. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, all these kids come. They call her Madame Joie, which means Miss Joy. They go, Madame Joie, Madame, kids everywhere. Madame Joie. Because they speak Haitian Creole. I don't know what they're saying. But she speaks Haitian Creole fluently. And she's, ooh, but kissing babies. I mean, some of the kids were so dirty and AIDS, their noses were running, and she kisses them right on their lips. She holds them in her arms, these little babies who were malnourished and dirty and filthy. I looked at her and I fell in love with her all over again. And you know, and I tell you, and then all of a sudden, these older ladies came, Madame Joie! They were so frail, so bony. Their faces looked skeletal because some people only eat 3 times a week, but they loved Madame Joie because every time she came with food and dresses and clothing because the people wouldn't go to church unless they had dresses on. And they're all just loving on her, and I'm watching this. But at the same time, I got to be cautious because I'm security. Because I heard there are kidnappers out here. Not on my watch. Because I'm the man. They call me Slaughter. Not only is that my name, it's my business. And sometimes my pleasure. So I'm standing there ready to take down anybody who wants to deal with Madame Joie. You got to see me first. What you looking at? What you looking at? So all of a sudden, I see 3 guys coming through the bush that had machetes, no shirts, and their pants were cut off. And I'm like, uh-oh. There goes the kidnappers. Where are those skinny security guys I can put in front of me? I don't want to die like this, Mama. I don't want to die. Right, I ain't no punk. I'm going to take one of them. Who? I'm going to take one of them. I don't know karate, but I know crazy. Ah! So they're coming quicker. They're coming quicker. They got their machetes, and they're coming down like this, right? They're coming through the bush, and I'm thinking, oh, God, oh, please, please, God. And I almost feel like feet don't fail me now. Shh, I wanted to run. And then I thought about just taking Joy and putting her in front of me. I'm too old to die. She lived along. She's a sweet girl. Maybe you're going to, she's more spiritual than I am. Maybe you'll protect her. So I braced myself, braced for impact, because here they come. I see them looking over at my wife. We about to go down. It's going to be rumble in the jungle right here, right? So all of a sudden they look at her and they go, oh, Madame Joie. And I'm thinking, what? She even knows the kidnappers. So I got back home and I told the people, yeah, I rescued my wife from a bunch of kidnappers. But I found out they really weren't kidnappers. They were just young boys going to go cut sugar cane. You know, but they looked like kidnappers to me. But amazing woman of God. I love her with all my heart. She's the best mother. 6 kids together, 10 grandchildren we have together, and she's just absolutely awesome. Would you welcome my wife, Joy Slaughter? Come on, baby. You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? Jesus has left the building. Yes.
Good morning. Wow, you're all happy. You look beautiful. You look like you just stepped off of Facebook. You know, your perfect little lives, your perfect smiles. You look wonderful this morning. You got all dressed up for church. See, he's thrown me right off now. I'm just going to throw a scripture at you. Psalm 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How many have desires in your heart this morning? How many of you have had a desire in your heart you've been carrying for years and years and years? And it's not yet been fulfilled. Sometimes it's painful to be carrying a desire around and nothing comes of it. You know, I prayed for years and years for this one desire. I had a dream from the time I was a little girl. And I carried that desire around, and life happened, things happened. I tried to work it out on my own. It didn't work. It was a big mess. Because we can't try to work things out on our own, right? Finally, I laid that desire down, and I said, God, I'm just giving up on this. I don't want to carry this around with me anymore. And you know what? I began to delight myself in the Lord because whatever you focus on becomes bigger. So I began focusing on God and he became bigger in my life. And I forgot about the desire. And you know, one morning I woke up and I realized
God had given me the desire of my heart. Do you want to know what it is? From the time I was a little girl, I always wanted to adopt a black baby. But I forgot to tell God what size. But you know, when God steps into your life, the Bible says his ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And God will work things out in your life in a different way than you expect. And when he does it, it's so much better, because not once have I ever had to change his diaper. Somebody said, not yet. Now, I do work with the elderly. That's my full-time job. And I change a lot of diapers. So I'm getting a lot of practice to change your diaper, baby. Anyway, it's okay to have fun in church, right? Some of you came this morning, and although you're dancing, you're shouting, you're worshiping God, you've put your best selfie on Facebook this morning, making your life look so perfect, deep inside of you, when you're all alone by yourself, you're carrying some pain. You've got areas of brokenness in your life, and some of you don't even know who to tell. Some of you might be carrying pain from your past. Maybe it was abuse from the time you were a child. And maybe you've never even told anyone. And you've got these broken pieces in your past that you can never repair. You might have brokenness in your present, and you're feeling like a failure. You're feeling totally like everything's unraveling, maybe in relationships, finances, health. And you keep seeing this video in your mind of your past. But you know, God is the only one who can step back into your past and bring it in up to speed, and he can redeem the time in your life. God can redeem the time in your life. So it's not up, you shouldn't be focusing on all those things. You know, when God called me into missions, when he called me into the ministry, I had been a pastor's daughter gone bad. The only one out of five kids who got messed up in drugs, alcohol, smoking, teenage pregnancy, high school dropout, attempted suicide, young mom living on welfare. I was the only one. But I said, God, I wanna serve you. I turned my life around and I came to him with all this brokenness. A lot of my family was in ministry, and I had failure written across my forehead in big letters. Amongst my siblings, they seemed to be successful, going to Bible college, getting into ministry, always being active in church. They didn't mess up like I did. I was the mess. I was the failure. And I just kept feeling like I was wearing this coat of shame. And one thing led to another as I tried to serve God. You know, I never felt qualified. Never felt like anything, didn't feel good enough. Kept comparing myself to other people. And one day, after 15 years sitting on the front row of the church, just humbly, you know, quietly serving God, we had a missionary come and speak. And as he spoke about Haiti, a fire started in my heart. And I felt the pain of the people in Haiti. I felt it. And God said, I want you to go to Haiti. And I was just young enough and dumb enough and naive enough to believe the scripture that said, sell all you have and go give it to the poor. I didn't know anything, but I knew that this thing in me wouldn't leave. And I was afraid to step out. I had never been to Haiti. And I heard all these stories. And I stepped out and I trusted God. And in the beginning, everything fell apart. And I laid it down, and I said, God, whatever you have for my life. And after I had told my friends and people God called me to Haiti and it all fell apart, people were kind of talking behind my back, you know, making fun of me. You hear the whisperers. And I said, God, whatever, I just want to serve you. And when I laid it down, and it wasn't about me, the minute I laid it down, within a few months, I was living on the mission field. Every door opened wide. And I still didn't know what I was doing. I lived there for 3 years with no electricity, no hot water, in one room, learning the language, learning the people's needs. And God met me there. And he blessed many mistakes. But I remember that day when he called me. I had depression. I was living in hopelessness inside of myself. Very broken person. Feeling no good and beat up by the enemy. The things he said to me. The things people said. And I said, when I was sitting there and he was calling me, I said, God, why would you call me? I mean, I'm hopeless. I'm broken. I've had all these messes in my life. Why would you call me? They're the most hopeless people on the Western Hemisphere. Why would you call me? And he said, because you know what it feels like. Some of you know what it feels like to be walking through what you're walking through. And I remember in those days in Haiti when I could sit down beside a woman with no teeth, who had no water, who hadn't bathed for days. And she's sitting there in her hopelessness on a mud, dirty floor. And even though I hadn't lived in those conditions, when I sat beside her and she cried her tears of pain, I could put my arm around her because even though our situations were different, I knew the emotion of hopelessness, and I could pour the love of Jesus into her and hug her and love her and minister to her right where she was at. And I remember visiting this lady in this mud hut, no water around, and I'm like, ooh, it was my first kind of experience doing that, and I had to go to the bathroom. I'm like, there's no toilet here. So not that I know of. I didn't know what they did. You know, I was learning all this as I went. I didn't study it from a book. And I was praying for her and stuff. And then I said, I need to use your restroom. So she got all excited. And she brought me 3 buckets, 3 different sizes. And she said, which one would you like? And that's the way it was. But you know what? She just was honored that this person, all the way from another country, would come. God would send me to her to minister to her, and I would even be able to use her bucket. You know, I don't know if she thought it was anointed or what. I'm not going to go there. But, you know, the mission field is a different place than here, but hopelessness is everywhere. And God wants to use your broken pieces. See, God doesn't need our strengths. Our strengths are wonderful, and it's wonderful that we all have different strengths, but where we are strong is not necessarily where God's going to show up. Where we are weak is where God comes through, and he shines through us. That's how relationships work. You know, where Alvin is weak, I am strong. Where I am weak, he is strong. So we have relationship. And together, we are strong. But some of us don't want to step out and do anything for God because we don't feel we have the knowledge. Well, God doesn't want your knowledge. He wants you to have his knowledge, and he doesn't want you to be a carbon copy of somebody else or a copycat. He wants to do things authentically through you. Amen. Because we are all unique in our gifts and our callings, and it's God that will touch us and work through us. And if you want to compare yourself and copy somebody else, you go right ahead. But you won't be the best version of yourself the way God wanted you to be. And some of you are walking through things today. You are broken in areas because God wants to show up in those areas. But he can't show up when you don't step out. If you wait till you're ready, you're going to wait the rest of your life. But when you step out, not even having a clue what you're doing, if your heart is turned towards God and your motives are right in your heart, God will bless what you start doing. And he will meet you at that point of faith. And he will give you divine appointments. He will give you divine connections. He will bring you before people you never thought you'd stand before. And your light will shine, and you won't even know it many times. The times when you feel the most like you're not being used for God, that's when he's really working in your life. When you think, wow, God used me today, probably not so much. But when you think, oh, man, I didn't do a good job today. No, you didn't, but God did. Because he flowed through you. And he wants the glory. If you want the glory and want to walk in your own strength all the time, that's fine. But God wants the glory. He wants to flow through your life if you'll let him. I want to read you a scripture this morning, a scripture of encouragement. I know it's encouraged me many times in my life. It's 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and 10. And most of you know, you get great teaching and preaching in this church. So just go home and search this scripture out a little more. I'm just going to be quick this morning. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory. I'm going to glory in my infirmities. I'm going to glory in them. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities. I take pleasure in them. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. You're going to take pleasure in the persecutions you face. And in my distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Our strength is not in ourselves. In fact, we are strongest when we are at our weakest point, because that is when God's power can work the most through us. Our weaknesses are something to treasure because they give us the chance to see God show himself in our lives in only the incredible ways he can. I have no regrets for all the things I've walked through in my life, all the brokenness. Because all those things, I could have learned things from a book, and it would be here, and that's wonderful, and we should keep, you know, gaining knowledge. We should. But there is something about when you have it, the knowledge in your head, as opposed to when that knowledge goes right down into here, and you feel it, you walk it, you live it, you know it. It's a knowing. And you can really minister to people when God puts it right in your spirit, in your heart. It's part of you. It's part of your journey. You know, Jesus came to earth and he went through many things so he could understand us. So that he would know the things we're going to walk through and go through. He met us right where we are. And that's what God's calling you to do. Go out into a hurting world, a hopeless world. And if you've been through something, that gives you the power to know how to speak into someone's life who's going through something similar. And you can bring them hope and be the light of Jesus. You know, I compare a person who, you know, we want to be perfect. So if you look at a clay vase, it's perfect. It looks beautiful on the shelf in the store. But if you put a little candle in that vase, just a little bit of light will shine out through the top. But if you have that vase at home and it's old and it's been broken, it's got pieces missing on all the sides, you know, a lot of broken pieces, and you put a candle inside that, that light shines out through all those holes, and it can make a beautiful design on the wall. And light is coming from everywhere inside that vase, and that's how I look at my life. I could have like a little bit of light coming out the top, or I can have all these places where the Lord can shine through me to minister to hopeless people and a hurting world. And he gets the glory. And I just want to encourage you this morning, because some of you are just so upset by the broken pieces, by your weaknesses. I'm not as good as that person. But God created you perfectly. He doesn't want you any different. He had a plan for your life, and however or whatever you have gone through, if you give it to him, he wants to make that beautiful. He wants to give you beauty for ashes. He wants to turn your mourning into joy. If you've got a spirit of heaviness, he wants to give you the garment of praise. And he's going to use many people here this morning. So don't be discouraged this morning. Your help comes from the Lord. There's a little verse the kids always say in nursery school. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. No, they couldn't. But you know, God can take your life, and he can make something beautiful out of it. Because when you read the Bible, I don't read a lot of things in the Bible that about perfect people. Usually when I open the Bible, I open it to somebody's big mess. And God is writing your story this morning, because he specializes in working in the middle of the mess. That's where he shows up, is in the middle of your mess. And whatever you're going through this morning, God can turn it around. And if you give it to him, he can make something beautiful out of your life. Amen? Amen. How many of you this morning believe in miracles? Well, when I got up this morning, I've been praying for some miracles, not necessarily this one. I prayed for this years ago, but this morning, I haven't even told my husband this yet, so he doesn't even know what I'm going to say. But you've experienced miracles, and I just wanted to share this with all of you, because we feel so at home here. Pastor Michael and Pastor Rhonda have made us feel so at home. We just feel like family. We feel like family here. And I just wanted to share with you this morning that we are expecting. You can't give a better round of applause for that? We're expecting that if you came this morning discouraged, God's gonna encourage your heart. He's gonna lift your spirit this morning. We came expecting that if you need a miracle, God's gonna turn it around for you, and you're gonna get your miracle. And we're going to join in our faith with you this morning so that you can expect great things from our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And your life will never be the same. God bless you all.
Be seated. We're almost done. The Apostle Paul said, I beseech you, King James, I beseech you, my brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. I urge you, I encourage you, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Some of us have been battered emotionally. Some of us have been battered physically. Today, God is doing an absolute new thing inside of your heart and life. Even while you were sitting there, you didn't even realize that the Spirit of God was regenerating something inside of you, doing something fresh and new. All you really have to do is receive it. I grew up in a church where we had altar calls of every service. The altar call was more important than the singing and the preaching. Altars are places where we lay down the old, whether it's symbolic or whether it's in reality. We lay down the old and we pick up the new thing that God wants to do in our lives. We don't have to know all the things he wants to do. We just know that God wants to do something fresh. He doesn't want to leave us the way we came. I wrote this song like 25 years ago. I wrote it at a time in my life when I wasn't even sure that God can use me. I wrote the first one on the first line, babe. Yeah. I wrote this song when I had no idea that God wanted to launch us into ministry. Failed at everything. You know, I had 16 jobs in 14 years, and I failed every last one of them. And then in 1990, God launched me in ministry. God launched Joy in ministry. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings of eagles. They'll run not be weary, walk not faint. I don't know who I'm singing this song to or about, but I dedicate this song to you. It says this. They were all together in one place, in an upper room. They were praying for God's power from on high. They were waiting for a promise made not so long ago. Jesus said that he would set their souls on fire. Suddenly, the sound of the wind came rushing in, and their souls were set aflame. And to them he gave the power when they called upon his name. Suddenly, I can feel his mighty power. Suddenly, I can feel the change within, and I know that I will never, never be the same again. For you can find what you need at your altar. Leave behind every weight that presses in, for the Spirit of the Lord is still moving. Touch your people this morning, Jesus. Suddenly, there's healing in his hands this morning. There's healing for you. Oh, never let your heart become troubled. There's no need to be afraid. No, no. When you feel you don't have strength to carry on, here's what I found. There is glory in God's presence. There is healing in his word. Hear me today. He's our anchor. He's our peace. Through every storm, so my friend, call on the Lord and trust his word. 'Cause age to age, he's still the same. Here's what we found, baby. He's a God that hears us. He's a God that loves us. There's still power in his name. And suddenly, I can feel his mighty power. And suddenly, oh, I can feel the change within. For I know that I will never, never be the same again.
'Cause you can find what you need at the altar. Leave behind every weight this presses in. For I know the Spirit of the Lord is still moving. I prophesy that the Spirit of the Lord is still moving. Spirit of the Lord is still moving. Still moving, still moving, still moving, still moving, still moving, still moving. Suddenly, while you're standing, baby, come. I'm not going to sing a song. I just want to say this prayer and then turn it to Pastor Michael and Pastor Ron. I feel the presence. I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord your healer. You're still the God that healeth me. You're still the Lord my healer. You sent your word and healed my disease. You are the Lord my healer. You are the God our healer. Say, you are the Lord my healer. Repeat after me and say these words, and then Joy and I will take our seats. Thank you for being so gracious to us. Say these words. You are my shield. Sometimes we have to change the music that's playing in our head. Sometimes the music is saying something. The accuser of the brethren is saying stuff that is not from God. Say to the Lord, you are my shield. Yeah, my strength, my portion, my deliverer, my shelter, strong tower, my very present help in time of need. Sometimes you have to take spiritual posture. You have to change your posture so you don't feel defeated. Say to the Lord, say, you are my shield. Yes, sir. My strength, my portion, my deliverer, my shelter, my healer, my very present help in time of need. If you agree with that, give God a great big shout of praise.
Hallelujah. I don't know about you. I feel the presence of the Lord is here. You know, the one thing that you can't fake God. Either God shows up or he doesn't. And this morning, there's no question. The presence of the Lord is here. Jesus said, where the presence of the Lord is, there's the presence to heal. And healing doesn't just come in your physical body. Some of you have serious emotional wounds and tragic situations. Some of you are dealing with emotional pain. You're in the middle of it, and you fake it with your face, but inside you're wounded. Today, Jesus wants to heal your broken heart. You know, that's what he came for. He came to heal. Came to heal you in your entirety. It's called sozo. Sozo, salvation, isn't just salvation for you to go to heaven. Salvation is spirit, soul, and body. That's what God wants for you. We don't need people always just living in their past, in their wounds. As Sister Joy was saying, it's time to see the light come through. It's time to have people be drawn to you, the Jesus in you. Amen. Father, we just thank you so much. You're so good to us. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, this Jesus that Brother Alvin was singing about, this Jesus that Sister Joy was preaching about, he's not fake. He's not a religion. Some say, well, I don't even believe that Jesus is real. Well, historically, Jesus is real. Prophetically, he fulfilled all the promises. Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, at least believe in the miracles that validate me. I shared a miracle this morning about one of the men in the church who came to me and he said the lower part of his heart was no longer working properly. The doctor said, we're not sure what's going to happen or how long you'll live. We laid hands on him in the name of Jesus, not in the name of a religion, not in the name of a church, not in the name of a pastor, but in the name of Jesus, the risen Savior. This last week on Tuesday, he came back to Rock Solid Faith and he said, Pastor, I have a test. Actually, it was when we went on riding on the motorcycle on Monday. And he said, they did 65 pictures of my heart and my heart is now working perfectly. If you don't believe, at least believe the miracles. It is a miracle. Stage 3 cancer. We have pictures, doctor's proof. She didn't go through any medical procedure. It all disappeared. Not because God loves her more. God loves us all the same. And if God will do it for one, he'll do it for us all. Amen. So today, the greatest gift that Christ gave to us was salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is, Jesus said, listen, the wages of sin is death. But there's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't be good enough for it. You can't clean up for it. This gift is called salvation. You see, somebody has to pay for the sin. And Jesus said, I'll take it. I'll pay the price. I'll be the one. So they don't have to. You see, this morning, someone paid the price for your sin, so you don't have to pay that price any longer. Greater love has no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friend. I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. See, this morning, if you do not know Christ, you have to pay for your own sin. And the wages of sin is death. But I got great news for you. There's a gift. Jesus said, listen, I was willing to go to that cross. I was willing to be nailed to that cross. I was willing even to take on all the sins of the planet, all the sickness and disease. I took it upon myself so you don't have to carry that yourself. If you'll just accept me, you'll receive my life. I'll pay your price for you. Can't get a greater gift. He paid it for you. But we can't participate until we receive that gift. You can have a gift under the Christmas tree for 30 years and never open it. Or you can be like a little child. Jesus said, be like a little child. You grab that gift. Come on, you know what it is like. The little babies, they grab a hold of that paper and they start ripping and they start tearing. They got a smile on their face, man, that is bigger than the Cheshire cat, man. And they rip that gift apart and they're so excited about what's inside. And I got something for you. His name is Jesus, and he's just waiting for you. He's got a free gift. It's called sonship, daughtership, relationship. He loves you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and this is between you and God. Inside, you're feeling that draw of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never felt that before, but right now, you feel, I want what they're talking about. I want what Brother Alvin sang about. I want what Sister Joy, I want the pieces to mean something. I want to be healed. The greatest healing is salvation. You're going to feel that tug of the Holy Spirit. Your mind's going to try to talk you out of it. Well, no, don't do that. Don't listen. We don't have membership here. You can't even join this church. This is about you becoming a citizen of heaven, not a church member. Today, if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up this morning. I want to lead you to the best friend. Thank you, sir, very much. You can put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? Come on, don't wait too long. Don't wait too long. Thank you, young man. Is there anyone else? I got you. Here we go. Anybody else? I'm going to do a countdown. I do that because it could be our last moment. Sadly, we don't know our last day. You got to prepare for that day. And that means knowing that you're set and secure with Christ. 5. Come on, get your hand up. 4. Come on, if you want Jesus, thank you, man. 3. Come on. 2. Come on, get ready. It's the last call. Last call. Get your hand up. And 1. Let's all stand to our feet this morning. I'm going to ask all those who raise their hand for salvation to be brave. Can everybody turn to the person next to you right now? Just look at the person right next to you and say, if you didn't raise your hand but you wanted to go up, I'll go with you. You know, husbands and wives, you assume that your spouse is right. You better ask them. You wondered a few times. This is the day to find out for sure. If you raise your hand, I want you to be brave and meet me right down front, right here, right with Mindy. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Come on, come right out of your chair. Come right out of your chair. This is your moment. It's your moment. Amen. It's your moment. Thank you, sir. Go right over there, follow Mindy. We're going to pray with you, get you a Bible. Everybody else, the Bible says when someone sows or gives or don't tread, the oxen does his job. Not that I'm calling Brother Alvin an ox, because he's a big man and I'd hate to offend him. But we all have seed offerings. Our church is a seeding church. We know how to invest, sow into good ground. How many of you felt Brother Alvin and Sister Joy good ground? Amen. What I love about them is they don't come. Listen now, when I say they're international, I'm not talking like they sing once, they've sung once. He traveled with Benny Hinn full time. He also was with Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir. He's literally, like he said, in the last just a few years, 13 times to Africa. He came to Horseheads. And he's not required. You know what he asked for? Whatever the people want to give. And I ask that you'll ask the Holy Spirit what to give. You see, I can tell you, in fact, this is where people get mad at churches. Well, you know, listen, if you ask the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you what to give. And you'll know this, that that's the right seed. Sometimes you got to put the right seed in the ground. Some of you have needs. You need to put the right seed in the ground. I'm not talking your tithe. I'm talking seed. And so this morning, I'm going to pray. I think you have these envelopes. They're green envelopes. Says seed offering. If you don't have one of those, then you can grab a blue one. Just make sure you mark Brother Alvin Slaughter on it, or Alvin Slaughter. And we're going to pray. Are you ready to pray? Father, God, you know everything about us, every detail of the finances. Lord, you know at times what is a significant seed, and you know, God, just simply times that you've spoken to us to give a specific amount. I pray in the name of Jesus as we sow into the Slaughter family. God, as we sow into their ministry, as they travel and minister and love people. And God, you'll use us to propel them to another location. Holy Spirit, whatever you will tell us to sow, we promise to obey. Because it's not ours, it's yours. So right now, in Jesus' name, get ready to listen. Holy Spirit, speak to us now. Now listen. Some of you already wrote checks, and God's going to tell you to write something bigger. Some of you, you've already written a check, and God's going to tell you to give smaller. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. This is a key. You ready? Amen. How many of you got what God's spoken to your heart? Amen. Father, we bless this offering right now. And God, as it goes into the hands of ministry, as the Slaughters travel the world, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that we get to travel with them, Lord, as we have sent them forth with finances. Now, God, bless them, Lord, traveling mercies as they go to the next location. Lord, bless their marriage and everything they do. God, let the anointing even become stronger than ever before. And God, we thank you for sending them to us as a divine connection. For Lord, I know you spoke to them specifically. And God, you spoke to some in this room specifically. And that's why they were sent. Encourage us, strengthen us, use us for your honor and glory. And everybody said, amen. Don't forget, next Sunday's Friendship Sunday. You got cards. You make sure you grab some on the way out. Invite everybody you know. Let's fill this house. Let's fill it so full, man, there's no more room. In Jesus' name. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.